Amen. Okay, let's get in the Word. Would you please turn to Luke chapter 7? Luke chapter 7. We've been on, this is the last message on revival, although this certainly isn't the last part we're going to speak about revival. And it's been to prepare everybody's life and heart. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God lives in us. Amen. Right now. Amen. And so Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians 5:23, a familiar scripture to many of us, that what he prayed was, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body, spirit, soul, and body, three parts because we're three parts, be preserved until the coming of Jesus Christ. All right? Our spirit got saved when we got born again. When you said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, forgive me of my sins, I'm yours for the rest of my life, you're my Lord. And I give my life to you. It's no longer me. When we did that, we got born again. And as a bonus, we got the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit after that. Now, when we got born again, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, I'm refreshing on last week. According to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, our spirit inside of us was recreated. I mean, recreated. What was dead in us, dead and corrupt and stinking, evil, full of sin, I mean black. Was made brand new, pure and holy and sinless and perfect. And then he, the Holy Spirit, sealed our new spirit. And never again can our spirit be in sin. No matter what. This is mind-blowing. Only God can do this. Now, recognize when that happened. Is everybody in here born again? If anybody isn't, man, it's so easy to be born again. Change your whole life. If you're not, come see me. Come talk to me. But everybody that's been born again has this now. And what is so cool is that eternally, salvation was completed. The whole thing. The whole shebang by Jesus. This is in Hebrews. Now, what didn't happen at that moment was our hearts did not get born again. And our flesh did not get born again. Because we're still in this carcass. Right? Okay. Now, this carcass that we live in, and that's what it is. I'll tell you, this is how I look at it. Has a choice. Line up, get in line, and get in tandem with what the Lord has done and what His Word says and all the benefits for us, or not. So last week, what we covered, that was a hard, good message, because it was for me, has been. I've been walking this through for a while now. But those hidden things that are in our heart that we wouldn't tell nobody for nothing, no how, no way. What the Bible calls the hidden things of shame, the hidden things that are secret, the hidden things that we would never tell. I'm talking our wives, our husbands, our kids. It's just not going to happen. And we bring them out periodically and look at them and dust them off and then let them work a little bit. Then we regret it. Then we cover them up and camouflage them and stuff them back in that secret area of our hearts. They're sin, bottom line. So our heart can sin, absolutely. And what happens when we do this with these secret things that we're embarrassed and full of shame about? And look, we all got it, okay? Don't think nobody does, because we all do. You'd never know I was an English major, would you? Would you? Everybody's got it. Everybody. Everybody deals with it. Unless you tackle, face it head on, deal with those things that are in our hearts. That sin that is in our heart that doesn't get born again, and begin this house cleaning. It's a house cleaning of this house, this temple, this carcass. We're preparing for his arrival. That's really what we're doing. We're preparing for our guest of honor. That's what we're doing. I mean, we get glimpses. Man, I'm telling you, there's more. I want it. I want revival for me. And I want it for you. And I know we do. No matter how uncomfortable or it gets, or how awesome it gets, whether it goes all day and all night, I don't care. I don't care. Have your way, Lord. So part of getting the house ready, this house and this house, is cleaning up the sin that has been in our hearts. And I went through the list last week, somewhat of a list. It's those things, facing those things. Now, number two, there are other things in our heart that come out, and they're a part of our flesh, part of our lives, part of how we live. And it's addressing those things too. Okay, so I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 36. And I want you to follow with me. I'm going to give a little commentary through this thing. But I want you to hear about this event in Jesus' life and maybe look at it a little different way. Because we are preparing for his arrival. We're preparing for us, okay? Here. He doesn't need to be prepared, but we do. And the reality. Verse 36. Didn't I say Luke 7? Did I say Matthew? Did I say Luke? Yeah, one of them. Luke. I've been out here someplace today. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Thank you. Hallelujah. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. That's a lot of money. That was a lot of money. The kind of money that would make you choke today. She stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Can you imagine the depth of the weeping that happened in her and what was coming up out of her? What she was dealing with and facing in her. The things that had been in her heart and in her life. Now this is, last week I talked about true repentance, not lip service. Oh Lord, okay, I'll just turn the other way. No, this is true, real repentance. Amen. Under grace. Thank you, Lord. Not under condemnation, but under grace. This is a heart condition. Remember, we're preparing for our honored guest. and the reality of the presence of the glory of God. And I don't take this lightly. None of us should. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, it's customary in that time for anybody entering someone else's house to have their feet washed, or to have a place, if it was a poor home, to have a place to wash their feet off, because they lived in a dirty area. They didn't always wear sandals. They went barefoot, and there's things on the road. And I mean, it just was dirty, crusty, wet, muddy, and other things. And she cried so deeply and wept so deeply. There was enough of her tears to wash his feet. This is huge, because it's showing what's inside of her, the sorrow and the grief for her heart, from her heart, for her life, and the recognition of sin. This is what we don't like to admit. Even we come under grace and we think, it's no big deal anymore. I can blow it off because I'm under grace. It doesn't really mean I've got to. I don't have to be sorrowful. I just say, okay, I'm going to turn. How successful is that always? Not unless it's real. And that's what I'm trying to get through here. Because when you deal with the heart and you recognize the things that we carry inside of us, you understand that it's just flat out evil and sin. And it keeps us in prison. It keeps us in bondage. It keeps us chained. Even though we're free, and we understand we're free from sin in our spirit, man, we're going to heaven. I don't care what junk is in your heart. But God cares, because it hurts him for us. The penalties that we inflict on ourselves because of what we carry if we don't face it. We must face it if we really want to live in freedom. And a lot of times what happens is we don't face it and we have crippled lives. We end up with sicknesses and diseases because we don't deal with these things in our hearts. But we deal with them. Boy, there's major breakthroughs. Major, major breakthroughs. And those things are happening in this church right now. They've been happening. They happened last week. They're happening now. We teach on the heart. This is why we do this. But you have to do it. Both of us, all of us. We have to face these things. So, she wept, washed his feet with her tears, took a pile of money's worth of fragrant oil, and anointed his feet, rubbed his feet, and anointed his feet. The lowest part of a human being in that time, the most unworthy part, she knelt down and did this. Verse 39. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he spoke to himself and saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is touching him, for she is a sinner." Pharisees. Now this was a godly man. A lot of times we condemn the Pharisees. We do, don't we? You religious piece of work. How dare you? But he said in his heart, and say it out loud, "This woman is a sinner. If this man knew about her, he would let her touch him. She's defiling him." And you know what? Can you say self-righteousness? Can you say judgment? Can you say offended? Can you say just sinned? Can you say his heart was full of it? That's the reality. Guess what? We do the same thing. on top of it all, by not welcoming Jesus customarily, just as a guest, what he was saying was he was really despising him. I'm not welcoming you. You're nothing. You're nobody. Who do you think you are? This is the culture. It was a slap in the face. But in his heart, he had judged and condemned, just like the woman, the living God in his house. And so Jesus says, this is a godly man. I mean, he was with his own efforts, he was doing what he knew to do to serve God. Right? And Jesus, verse 40, answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, Teacher, say it. And there was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, Simon, which of them will love him the more? And Simon said to him, Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who in the world is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That saved is the same salvation, same meaning as we know, sozo. Saved and healed and delivered, made righteous, forgiven. At that moment, that's what happened to her. And she was freed. Now, she knew. She really knew true repentance. Sorrow and grief at what she'd done and how she'd lived and what happened in her life. And she sought her Savior. And he forgave her. But what happened also was she cleared her heart out. She emptied herself. That was the first thing. She said, here it is. You know, it's visible. This is who I was. She emptied out her heart before the Lord. Said no more. The second part was genuine humility. True repentance and genuine humility are what is missing in the body today. I'm not talking about a fake type holiness humility. I'm talking about genuine humility that comes from the heart. This is what happened with her. True repentance and genuine humility. Even under grace, that doesn't stop with us. Knowing the fact that no matter what we do, God loves us and has forgiven us. And that's true. Knowing for a fact that eternally, man, we're going to heaven. God loves us. That never stops. He never leaves us, never abandons us. Our spirit is sealed. But what we do to ourselves in our relationship with Him and what we could have relationally, what we could have in the benefits that we exclude ourselves from, what we could have in the freedom from all these things that we carry in our heart, what we could have, we don't have. And we wonder why. I'm under grace. It's really simple to solve this. But we have to deal with it. We do have to deal with it. And this doesn't mean to stay sin conscious, because we're not supposed to be sin conscious. But man, when we've got junk that we've hidden away in our hearts, we need to deal with it. We need to face it, admit it, confess it. Not, you know, don't go to somebody else and go, bleh, I've done and I've hated and I've been, and I've, you know, I all kinds of weird stuff. It's sin. Go to the Lord. Admit it. He already knows it. But admit it. I've been carrying this boatload of stuff in my heart, hidden away and camouflaged, and I'm going to acknowledge it and let's get rid of it. And I'm going to break the hold those things have had on me, because they have a hold, whether you realize it or not. And they hinder you from receiving the whole benefit package. They hinder the Holy Spirit from working in you. They hinder our being able to hear Him. They hinder this thing. But the second part of this is genuine humility. It comes with it. It works in tandem. It's like, wow, who am I? Who am I? You know, let me read this to you. I don't have a lot of time left. Can you bear with me for a little bit longer?
Of course.
Praise God. True repentance leads to genuine humility. That's the facts. Genuine humility, genuine, real, true humility that comes, that is in us and comes from us, will affect every area of our life. But this is where it starts. It is knowing who we are in Him. Our lives are hidden in Jesus Christ. He's in God. We're in Him. That's fact. But it's also seeing ourselves compared to who He is in glory and holiness. He's Daddy. I mean, He really is. He's my dad. I never really had a dad. A number of us haven't. He's Dad. I can go boldly to the throne of grace anytime I want. And it's awesome. But I also know He is God. He is both. And I never lose that understanding. And I am humbled when I compare. This is what the woman did who washed Jesus' feet. She was seeing Him for who He is, the living God, embodied in the flesh, and who she was. We don't see that when we come to Him. We're inviting Him in here. Our house guest into our lives, into here. We've got Him already. He's already here. But I mean in a tangible, powerful way for revival. Do we understand genuine humility that comes with true repentance? This is what Isaiah said in chapter 6. And I won't go into it, the whole thing. But Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the day Uzziah, King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. He got a picture of God. And he said, Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a dead man. I've seen the Lord and who He really is. I recognize, this is Isaiah the prophet. I mean, mighty prophet. One of the greatest prophets of all times. I'm a dead man because of what I've seen of God. God loves us, but we don't get a clue many times of who He is. He's Daddy, but we only got part of the picture. We need the balance. In Revelation chapter 1, John, the one whom Jesus loved, the one who laid back on His breast in the Last Supper, the one who followed Jesus. I mean, let's just cut to the chase. He was Jesus' favorite. I mean, Jesus, they were all favorites, but man, he just really loved John. John really loved him. They were buds. John was on the Isle of Patmos, exiled, after the emperor of Rome tried to boil him in oil to kill him. He said, well, I can't kill him, I'll get rid of him. And he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. In the spirit. Now, what do you think that means? Wow. Wish I could go into all this. But he heard a voice, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. First and the last. I was dead and I'm alive. And here I am. And he said, he turned and he saw him for who he really is. And he fell flat on his face. That is genuine humility. John didn't say, get up and say, hey, bud, where you been? He's his friend, and he's God. This is how this works. He is our friend and our dad and our love, and we've got a relationship with him, and he is God. Bottom line, true repentance and true humility come from the heart in recognizing these things in us and in our lives. It is time to get a grasp on this for ourselves. Isaiah 57, verse 15, you'll have to turn there. I'm going to close up in a minute. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. That's our God. Dad, Daddy, and God. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's a choice that we make. Out of the reality of what we know and what we understand at this particular time. It is emptying ourselves of us all the way. I want to share real quickly one thing. And I'm using this for an example, not to highlight any one particular person. But this is what the Lord gave me this week. I've been praying about this for a while. The Lord said, I want you to bring this up. One of the most humble men I've ever known is Lonnie. You're probably not going to like what I'm going to say. There's a tender humility that comes out of him for the Lord. He's Daddy and he's God. One time we were meeting in the ballroom of the Marriott Hotel and we walked in and church was, the room was set up and church was, people were coming, and I looked over and I saw Lonnie. I never forget this. I saw Lonnie on a chair backwards, with the back facing the backwards. I don't know how he got in this position, but he was leaned back, had his legs over the back of the chair, his arms stretched out, his eyes shut, upside down, praising God, worshiping. I mean, he was alone with the Lord. It inspired me. Genuine humility is not caring what anybody else thinks of you. Genuine humility is knowing and caring what God thinks of you. our Father thinks of you and our love for him and that he and he alone is God.
Amen.
He's both.
Yes, he is. Amen.
And keeping that balance in our lives, there's a reverential awe of who he is and a wild abandon of love when he's daddy, when he's God. Okay? Seeking that genuine humility is the emptying of ourselves. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Lonnie's not perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. Doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes or we're going to sin or sin in our hearts. If you do, you got a choice. Either get rid of it or hold on tight and let it hurt you or destroy you, even under grace. So here it is. I'll wrap. I got a lot more to share. But the main point, true repentance and genuine humility are where our hearts need to be for this house and this house as we invite and expect our guest of honor. Amen?
Amen.
So Father God, in Jesus' name, help us. Help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. Those things that may still be there, they may still be in our hearts, and they're hurting us to recognize them, admit them to ourselves and to you, Lord. And to break them off our lives. Get rid of them. Let them never have a foothold again. And Lord, in humility, true, genuine humility, we come before you, whether on our knees or on our face, whether we're waving some flags or whether we're or some banners or whatever those things were. Whatever we're doing. And how we empty ourselves before you with our hearts. We welcome you. We want revival. We want you. We're going to continue to seek you in prayer and preparing our houses for your arrival, for our lives, and for this church, and for the outgo of your kingdom from now on. And I thank you for the mighty and powerful breakthroughs happening in our lives right now and going forward, that in every single area, things are changing for us. Thank you for revival. I'm saying this in faith. Great things, even greater, are coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.